Why don't you tell me, what is the evidence?
All right, the evidence is, I listed six conditions in my books. One, number one, is when the apparition states unknown information
yes.
to the witness.
Right.
The witness then proves that later. I'll give you an example. In my book, Beverly, a mother, had a terrible feeling one night when her son Tommy wanted to go out.
Mm-hmm.
He went out anyway. Terrible, terrible snowstorm. She said when he wasn't home by about midnight, she began calling the hospitals. Sure enough, the next morning, the police arrived at her door, said, "We are so sorry to tell you this, but Tommy was murdered."
Oh, my God.
They went inside, sat down in her living room. They began telling her the problem was that Tommy was murdered, but then his body was transported. They said no crime scene, no witnesses, no suspects.
Hmm.
Said there's nothing we can do. This will probably be a cold case. Well, Beverly began crying, of course, and saying, "Tommy, Tommy, who would do this to you?" She said overhead the chandelier in her living room shuddered and vibrated so violently
mm-hmm.
that the police at one time stopped her. They were afraid that a fire was going to break out. They continued. All right, still, like I said, no suspects, nothing they could do, cold case.
Right.
The day after the funeral, Beverly's relatives were still there. She called the police department. They said, "We're sorry, there's just not anything we can do. We don't have any kind of crime scene, nothing." That morning, Tommy came to his mother, said, "Mom, Mom, hurry, wake up, wake up. You'll find my blood in the snow at Washington and St. James Place, but you've got to go right now. It's going to melt." Beverly went running down the stairs. Her family thought she was crazy with grief, but she insisted. They drove to the exact site where Tommy said his blood would be found in the snow, and there it was, melting, exactly like he said.
Wow.
Beverly said, "Diane, yeah, I couldn't call the police and tell them my dead son told me this." So she said, went to a phone booth. I called them and said I had an anonymous tip. Sure enough, the police came out. They took the DNA samples. It was Tommy's blood. But here, Art, is the thing, is that from there, the police found three eyewitnesses. All three eyewitnesses told exactly what happened with Tommy.
Wow.
Someone, a man, was trying to rob him, chased him round and round and round the van until finally, of course, they were stabbing him as he was running, but then they took his billfold and they took his ring, threw him in the van, and sped off.
Right.
This is the thing. They said, "Can you tell us the suspect's name?" They said, "All we know is his nickname was Light."
Oh.
Ah, there was the light shaking overhead in Beverly's chandelier. The second condition whereby we find evidence for life after death is collective. In other words, when more than one person witnesses the apparition. An example of this is Charles Vance. Charles Vance is a very wealthy businessman in Houston. He's successful. He's just not the type you would ever think would have anything like an afterlife encounter.
Right.
He's busy. He pushes through. He's kind of a bull. And a friend of mine told me that Charles Vance had encountered Murphy.
Who?
Now,
who?
Murphy. Now, what surprised me about this was Murphy owned a little tiny vacuum cleaner store. He took an old, not even brick home, just a little frame house. In the front of it, he put his vacuum cleaner store and parts. In the back, he lived with his wife and children.
Mm-hmm.
No one would ever dream Murphy had any money. Well, according to this friend of mine, Charles Vance had this apparitional experience with Murphy, and Murphy told him there was an astonishing amount of money he had hidden in the wall. Yes, and he wanted Charles to call his widow and tell him. Tell her.
Tell her, sure.
Sure, break down the wall, get the money. Well, Charles said, "Yeah, I can't do something like that. They would think I was nuts."
Stay good and close to the phone for me.
Okay.
So, this is impressive stuff. Something that only the person who had passed away could possibly know, and a secret they held, like where money's stored or stashed or something, yeah.
Right, and I mean, and Art, I had probably, I don't know, maybe 200 cases in my files with money hidden in the rafters, hidden in the basement, hidden in jars. But what attracted me to this account was, number one, Murphy. I mean, he wore old overalls that were holy and shirts that were just hanging. Yeah. You would never dream he had a dime. So I went over and talked to Charles, interviewed him and his wife. Now, Jean, his wife, said Charles would not have ever told anybody about this. Never.
I can believe that, sure.
But Murphy kept coming to him more often and more often and more often. Tell Lorraine there's money. Tell Lorraine there's money.
All right, now, did Murphy know him?
Murphy had been his boss at one time. Charles went over and would just help him around the store.
All right, so there was
when he was in high school.
There was a relationship.
There
okay.
was a relationship.
That's fine. Good.
Yes. So, finally, Charles Vance's wife called the widow, told the widow. Of course, she just kind of laughed it off. But then she called back, and much to their surprise, she said she was going to tear down that wall the next week anyway to have the house redone. So she decided to go ahead and knock a hole in there. Art, she found thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in cash. So now, this is why it was collective. The widow called the daughter who lived in Florida. Now, this was in Houston.
Yes.
Called the daughter in Florida, said, "You won't believe this. I found money." And the daughter said, "Mom, Dad has been coming to me in dreams, telling me." And then she described the exact scene, word for word, the leaves and the trees, what the house looked like. There was a sign Murphy was standing by that Charles had described. So the daughter described word for word, verbatim, what Charles had already told his wife. So here we have a person in Houston, a person in Florida, the same apparitional account at the same time. So that's collective.